You're listening to the Midday Grind with Martin Kilcoyne and Charlie Marlowe on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Meant getting fired, but I figured I'd have it all by the time I retired. I'd have me a car worth at least $100,000. I'd get it one piece at a time, and it wouldn't cost me a dime. You'll know it's me when I come through your town.
You know whose music that is? It's Kenny Wallace's music, a staple on this program, which is called The Midday Grind, 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and 590thefan.com. It's Tuesdays with Kenny. I was told he's driving down to Jupiter, so we'll see if that's the case and where exactly he is on that. I think it's about, I've done this drive twice, maybe 18 hours-ish. Kenny Wallace? I have two times down to spring training, stopping halfway in either Nashville, Georgia, something like that. Kenny, you there, buddy? Kenny Wallace. We might have some cell phone issues here. Can you hear me, man? I'll tell you what, why don't we try to reconnect with Kenny? That happens sometimes. You're probably driving down there through the Smoky Mountains. Cell service kind of coming.
I've never done that. That's pretty fabulous, I've been told.
Yeah, we vacationed there a couple times as kids, just driving down there and, you know, stay in a little hotel or a cottage there. And when you're driving down to Jupiter, I think it is about, maybe it's 16, 17 hours. Obviously, it depends on how fast you're going, but you got to stay somewhere in between for a night. A couple times I'd stay in Nashville, which wasn't too good on the front end.
No.
Because then, well, I guess on the front end, you're only driving 5 hours. And then on the back end, you're driving 13. You could probably stay halfway somewhere in Georgia. But yeah, once you pass Nashville and you're kind of going around Chattanooga and all that, you have a really scenic drive and you have all the mountains and the hills and it's winding. And I think we have Kenny once again, hopefully. Kenny, you there, buddy? Kenny Wallace.
He's on. I'm on top of the hill. I'm gonna pull over. I'm on 24. I'm about 170 miles outside of Nashville. I think I got a good signal.
Nice. We can hear you loud and clear. So, have you got to Nashville yet, or have you passed Nashville?
Nope. I got 170 miles to go to Nashville.
Gotcha.
Having the time of my life, Charlie. You know what? I spent a little bit of time looking for somebody to go with me because the baseball Cardinals allow somebody to come with you. And you know what? I said, you know, if I bring somebody with me, you know, they might drag me down. I just thought I would try this. So I am excited. Headed to Jupiter, Florida to play at Roger Dean Stadium. The game, you know, we everything starts Thursday. Get to meet everybody, but I am really excited.
And Kenny, you drive cars for a living. You have your whole life, but sometimes you take that long car ride and you said you're by yourself, so it's a solo mission. You got about 16, 17 hours. It's kind of a good time just as a human being. You can clear your head. You can listen to music. You can listen to radio from different states. You can maybe put on a podcast. You can put on some motivational, soundtracks or whatever and kind of just drive down there and just be there with your thoughts.
Exactly right. You know what happens when you get of age, like me, 54, you go through the wintertime and you think, okay, what's going on this year with me? And I'm like, I'm using this trip as one last time before the 2018 season starts just to clear my head. Because, you know, we took a vacation back in early December. But I notice a lot of people use a strategy where they'll take their vacation like in January. So I'm using this trip to do that, clear my head, and also, you know, I fly in those airplanes. I mean, I'm up at Lambert Airport every 4 days. So the excitement of flying, I don't like flying anymore. I despise it, and I'd rather drive.
So what's it like as a professional race car driver once you pass Nashville around, I guess it's Chattanooga, I can't remember the exact city, but you You're in the Smoky Mountains. It's kind of it's kind of dangerous. It's winding. You got steep elevations. How do you drive that? Do you kind of just, all right, I'm a race car driver. Do you kind of have some fun with that, or are you super safe? Be honest.
No, you know, that's a misconception. Race car drivers do not have a death wish. We like to compete. We like to win. Now, I'll tell you, I have it much easier right now because I am in my Toyota Tundra. And, yes, that was a shameless plug. I love Toyota. So I'm in my Toyota Tundra, and everything's much easier right now because every year we do go down, it's in my big Freightliner tractor trailer. And when we go through Chattanooga, Tennessee, it can get very nervy because, as you know and as you just said, you got some pretty steep hills, you know. So, but, yes, you're right. It gets to be a little tough at times.
We're talking with Kenny Wallace, Tuesdays with Kenny, headed down to Jupiter, Florida for Cardinals Fantasy Camp. So how's your game? What was the training like? Are you ready? Are you going to impress down there?
Well, my buddy Shane Eames, they're off Highway 55 at Revis Barracks. We just went through some reps. We did not try to turn me into a baseball player. The biggest piece of advice I got was, number one, have fun, take it easy. Because, man, I'll tell you what, as fun as it is, I've heard horror stories. Number one, I've heard how much fun it is. But on the flip side, you have 80-year-old men down there, and some of them have had heart attacks. And so the president of, which I told you this story a couple weeks ago, the president of Hendrick Motorsport, which is a car that, you know, Dale Earnhardt Jr. drove, Jeff Gordon, Doug Dukart, Doug said, Herm, take it easy the first day. Don't worry about trying to show up because, after all, I'm going to be around Tony La Russa, so I'm sure they're going to be making fun of me anyway, no matter what. So I'm going to have fun with it.
And I was kind of thinking about that because, look, you want to win. You want to play well. You want to do well and show well in front of everybody. But I'd say never go past about 80% because you want to have fun, but is it worth it to leg out that base hit, and then you turn your ankle, or you blow out your hamstring, and all of a sudden you can't race dirt for a couple months because of trying to get that base knock at fantasy camp?
Yeah, I swear to God, you're reading my mind. Because first of all, I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about it. But I have thought to myself exactly what you just said, because when I was in Quarry Lake playing out there on the outer road out in Arnold, Imperial, Missouri, I played outfield, and buddy, I could run like a deer. Well, not anymore. But I imagined myself at Roger Dean Stadium trying to show everybody that I'm still young, and I'm not. And I thought, you know, if a fly ball gets in the gap, I just might let it go. because of what you said, number one and foremost, and we talk about this all the time, I worked for Fox Sports. You know, and the Daytona 500 is right around the corner. And when I say around the corner, I mean, like, you know, we got to be there in like 3 weeks. So I'm headed down much earlier. I don't want to not be able to do my job on TV. I have to interview these drivers, do sit-down interviews. I don't want to injure myself. And next week, January 24th, through the 27th, I am racing in Tampa, Florida. So I'm going to be down here for like a month and a half. So I do not want to hurt myself.
We're talking with Kenny Wallace. The winter warm-up wrapping up yesterday downtown by the Arch. Kenny, how close do we know you're a huge Cardinals fan, obviously. How closely have you kind of followed the off-season moves, picking up Marcell Ozuna, and you have the pitcher from Japan who used to pitch in the major leagues, Miles Michaelis. You got a reliever, Luke Gregerson. How do you feel about the Cardinals entering 2018. We heard from Bill DeWitt Jr. yesterday where he said he'd be surprised if they made another big move before the season started. So maybe they add another piece, maybe it's a bullpen arm, but it seems like, for the most part, this is going to be the team when spring training starts. What do you think about it?
So you're right. I know everything. I've been following you, watching you every night on the news, and been paying attention to it. First thing I want to address is, you know, the Cardinals were a little upset. You know, Bill DeWitt saying, you know, we had slow traffic this year for the winter warm-up. And I kind of laughed when they said only 16,000 people, where last year there was 18,000 people, and they thought that was because, you know, we haven't gone into the playoffs. And, you know, listen, I'm not a fair weather fan. I live, eat, and breathe baseball Cardinals. I'm going to be at that stadium whether they're winning or losing. But I think I have an advantage on other people because, see, I'm a competitor. I compete. I know what it's like. So I'm not somebody that sits on the sidelines. I know how hard it is to win. The Cardinals are one of the greatest, if not the second greatest baseball team in the history of Major League Baseball. I mean, you got the Yankees and you got us. And listen, that's a fact. That's just a fact. There's no arguing with me on that. That's the way it is. The Cardinals are the second greatest organization in the history of baseball. Now, we argue from year to year this and that, tit for tat, you know, the San Francisco Giants this or Houston this, but the Cardinals are great. And you can't hang on every year. So I really don't like that, you know, DeWitt was worried about the foot traffic. That's just the way that stuff goes. So 16,000 people come through winter warm-up. You know, Matheny addressed that this morning very early. And they were concerned about it. I'm like, the hell with that. You know, play ball. Those are just fair-weather people, you know. They said that they thought, you know, some of the souvenir sales were down because they didn't have no pennants or anything to sell. Well, I'm like, that's just the way it goes, man. You can't stay on top all the time. That's the way it goes. Now, as far as the players, listen, I'm going to go with them. I'm going to believe what they say. I've already told you and Martin that I was worried about a reliever. I think our offense is upgraded in the outfield. I mean, listen, we're getting pretty good when Grichik is a backup now, right?
Yeah.
Grichik is going to be on the bench. So that tells me, you know, we're really, you know, we got a great player going to sit on the bench. But I'm going to believe them. You know, and let me just say this, and I'll quit talking. You do have me wound up. I am excited about the Cardinals. here's what I have to say about relievers. 7 out of 10, they never relieve, right? Mm-hmm. 7 out of 10 relievers, in Kenny Wallace's math, they blow the saves. So they say, here's our reliever. Well, the reliever's never saved. It's very rare if you get a reliever that saves. So, you know, I remember the old bullpen by committee. It worked well for us. You know, if DeWitt and Matheny come out and said, we got a reliever, well, hell, that's still, I'm still going to be worried because who the hell is the reliever? So I'm excited to see who comes out of the woodworks, and I'm excited to see if we do find a reliever this year. So I'm excited to see if we do have a reliever, and I will be watching, and that's the way I look at it. I don't get excited because we have Ozuna. Now, I'm happy we have him, but it doesn't mean he's going to hit 300. So that's why I get excited every year to watch the game.
And, Kenny, finally, when we had you on last week, you were talking about your friendship and your admiration for Danica Patrick and all she's done for women in sports and women in auto racing and even carrying some other teams and allowing other people to have jobs in racing because of her yep. stardom and all that. And she's retiring and, of course, going to do the double dip, right? She's going to do, I think, the Coca-Cola and the Indy 500. But right back in the spotlight, she's dating Aaron Rodgers now.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Mm-hmm.
That shocked me because I know Danica. I know her really well. You know, when I say I know her really well, eat dinner with her, stop at her house, bullshit with her. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I apologize. Talk with her. That's just Missouri talk. I apologize.
You like
that.
It.
I don't mean to do it.
Hey, CNN says it now. You know?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Hey, I won't get off topic. I will go back to Danica in a minute. But
I love
funny.
It.
I was watching Fox News, and they were upset that they couldn't say it. So the bosses at Fox News said, you're not allowed to say it. But, you know, I was watching the 5, you know, around 5 o'clock on just normal Fox. And it was funny. He goes, no, this is not fair. Fox News is not allowed to say that word, but all the other networks could. I thought that was so much, that was really funny that they were upset that they couldn't say that word. But getting back to Danica, I was not bragging. I was just saying that I know Danica, right? And I was as shocked as anybody. I never saw that one coming in a million years. So she did a good job keeping that one quiet.
Well, Kenny, appreciate the time as always, sir. Drive safe down to Jupiter. Enjoy the ride, and we can't wait to talk with you next week, see how you did. I'm sure you're going to hit some bombs and stay healthy and impress everybody down there and have a hell of a time and then drink a few beers, I'm guessing.
Love you, Charlie. I'll talk to you all Tuesday.
Love you too, sir. That's Kenny Wallace, Tuesdays with Kenny, driving down. He said, what is he, standing on top of his car, on top of a mountain probably, getting close to the Smokies there just to get us a good cell signal. And, Danica Patrick's a Bears fan. So obviously,
that's gonna go well.
You have the quarterback of the Packers. She's going to race the Daytona 500 and the Indy 500 before retiring. Did you see the headline?
She's changing her fandom.
Oh, she is? Well, yeah. I'm guessing if you're dating that person, it kind of changes it. I think it was the Chicago Tribune where they put out the headline that said Danica Patrick is dating the brother of the winner of The Bachelor. So a nice shot right there to keep the Bears-Packers rivalry going, giving no respect whatsoever to Aaron Rodgers and calling him the brother of the winner of The Bachelor. Gotta love that. Hoff, we are going to do at the end of the day, but also do we have a couple of our Cardinals clips from Winter Warm-Up that we have not
used? Yeah, we do still have one or two more. This one struck out to me. I know Derek Gould on the Ryan Kelly Morning After also discussed kind of an important word used by Matt Carpenter here when discussing. He notices that the fan base seems a little on edge, and this is what he had to say.
This is a fan base that has an insane amount of loyalty, but a track record of a lot of success. And when that starts to teeter towards a different direction, people get uneasy. And I can imagine that's where we are. But, from a player, I can assure you we're doing everything that we can to get us back.
Uneasy. Uneasy is the key word. I do agree with that. I was reading Derek Gould's chat. I was paging through Ben Fred's earlier today. There is a lot of uneasy, if not in some cases, outright panic regarding what the Cardinals have done this offseason, because it started off so positive and then it's just kind of petered out after that.
You think it's panic, though? I can understand that a lot of people, me included, I like the moves. I think they're all smart moves. I'm not in love with the Gregerson move if he's your closer. We'll see what happens with Alex Reyes, but I think you open yourself up for some very obvious and fair criticism. Even if your goal is for Reyes to be the closer, let's say around May 1st or May 15th, whatever it is, if Gregerson is your guy and you really are done and he blows a bunch of saves in that first month, I think you have some very obvious criticism that you're walking into. So we'll see if they're done. I don't know. Sometimes I take what the decision makers say at face value, it sure seems like they're not going to make a big move. Let's just say trading for Colome. Wouldn't you call that a big move?
Yes, that would be a big move.
I'm guessing they're not going to make a big move. I could be wrong. Maybe these guys like the Hosmers and Moustakas of the world come so much back to the pack financially that it just makes sense. So I'm never going to say that it's over. There seems to be a lot of players still unsigned. I mean, we don't even talk about Lance Lynn.
No.
I've never even heard the dude's name mentioned. I'm not saying he's coming back to the Cardinals, but just in general, has anyone mentioned Lance Lynn?
No, he's just sitting there all by himself looking for a contract a month and a half away. Although, you mentioned the word uneasy. If Reyes isn't ready to go, Gregerson, Cecil, Bowman, Lyons, Tuivalala, Brebbia, Gant.
Some guys who are either overused or there hasn't been a whole lot of faith to use them.
I would be more than uneasy if that's my group, knowing that there's a rookie who we know can throw it through a brick wall. We're not sure he can be a closer. We're not even sure if he's going to be able to pitch on back-to-back days. That would be very uneasy.
I think they're kind of crossing their fingers and hoping maybe a Jordan Hicks or an Austin Gomber has a really good spring and they can sell that to the fan base entering opening day.
And maybe that happens, and I hope that's the case. I just think baseball players in general these days, younger players, and until you've done it for about three seasons, it's hard to count on that. You know what I'm saying? And it's not just the Cardinals. If you look across baseball at some of the really good young players that have come up, set the league on fire, and then you're thinking, oh, man, this guy's going to be an all-star, and next year they're in AAA. I mean, you see it happen with Jed Jerko with the Padres. It happened with Yasiel Puig. It happened with Jock Peterson. It happened with the Cardinals with what? Randall Grichuk, Aledmys Diaz, Stephen Piscotty, Colton Wong. Now, I'm mentioning all position players, but I'm just saying when you throw out a name like Matt Bowman or John Brebbia, those guys were great. You can either call them a surprise or they overperformed or maybe we hadn't heard about them, but they were great for the Cardinals in 2017. Do you think, can you absolutely count on them to do that same thing in 2018? I sure hope that's the case, but I don't think you can count on that. Tui Valala, who we saw last year going up and down from Memphis seemingly a million times, and now he's out of options. You'd think he's going to be in the bullpen the whole year. Right. I hope he does really well, and I think he has all the possibilities to do that, but can you count on that? And that's where I think, like, I know a lot of people are talking about Addison Reed and his usage, but the Minnesota Twins were a team that made the wild card last year, and if you're going to throw out $12 or $15 or $17 million for a reliever, does it matter if it's $12 or $17, really? I mean, look, it's one thing if you miss on a $100 million contract. I get that. If it's a reliever and it's a two-year deal, I'm fine. If I have to pay $2 million more, wouldn't you feel a lot more comfortable with Addison Reed as a possible closer? And look, he's going to a team. They made some smart moves. Fernando Rodney, who maybe will be their closer for the Twins, that's a very low-risk, high-reward type deal. He was really very good at the end of last season for the Diamondbacks after being really bad early. His ERA at the end wasn't fantastic overall, but that's a guy who's a proven closer. So I just think you open yourself up to some criticism if you head to spring training the way it is. I'm guessing they're going to add one bullpen arm, and I do think that this year they're going to make a big splash at the trading deadline. I know it kind of stinks to say that now because we're going to have to wait 100 games, but I think if they're in it and they're close to these contenders, I do think they'll go big at the trading deadline.
I would think so. Let's face it. Once they get to a point in spring training, John Mozeliak will sit here and go, we're going to go with what we have. We'll survive through June. We'll use some of our call-ups when we need a guy for a day or two or a week or a couple weeks because of injury. And then if we're still around, then more than likely they'll go after something, depending on what they feel about their group.
And I think the good thing is, and often you mention guys like, you mentioned Gomber, Dakota Hudson, Flaherty also was there this weekend at winter warm-up. And I think you have a lot of guys where I think more and more teams are going to do this. When you have these talented starters that have options, I think you're going to see more and more pitchers who maybe they give you 80 innings or maybe they give you 120 innings and maybe that's starting 10 games and being in the bullpen the rest of the year. Now, I don't know if Flaherty's going to start at AAA. I don't know if that makes sense or if it makes more sense for him to be a starter right out of the gate, but he could be a bullpen guy. The second you need a start, all of a sudden somebody like that comes up. I do think you have a lot of options that can throw some good, strong innings at you with these prospects. So I'm not necessarily worried about that depth-wise. I just feel like in the bullpen, it'd be nice to have a guy you can just kind of say, all right, we feel pretty good about him. And I don't think right now you have that. We'll see. Look, Alex Reyes has one of the most electric arms in baseball. So if that's the case come May 1st, I'm good with riding with that. But that first month, I think if Luke Gregerson is not saving games, I think you open yourself up to a lot of criticism right there. Hoffman.
Yes.
At the end of the day, at the end of the day.
At the end of the day.
When's the end of the day?
At the end of the day, it's going to be tough to tell someone they might not be in it.
At the end of the day, you know, you got to be happy.
You know, I'm not sure if Kenny Wallace mentioned this on the air. Did he say Paducah at all when we got him on?
I don't think he did.
He said it to me over the phone then when I got him on the air. He was near Paducah, Kentucky. By the way, a little bit of research into Paducah. World headquarters of Dippin' Dots are there. And World Series champion and five-time Gold Glover, Steve Finley, attended Paducah Tillman High.
Really?
Yeah, quality ball player in Steve Finley.
Very good. I've never had a Dippin' Dot, ever.
You know, I have. They're not that
never
good.
Never had them.
I'm not a fan.
Just that came after I was
them.
A kid.
Just give me ice them. Cream.
We didn't have those when I was a kid.
Okay.
We had just normal ice cream.
I never thought it tasted that good.
And we liked it.
So, yeah.
And
I
we
agree.
Liked it. There you go.
The Cash Evans Memorial Kansas Basketball Update.
For Oakbash, a three.
Kansas basketball did beat West Virginia last night, so therefore there will not be a $25,000 donation to the Norma Rae Huggins Cancer Fund, So if you want to go to a Kansas fan and yell at them for taking money away from cancer research, you go ahead and do that today.
And shout out to our guy, Chris Gardner. Saw him at the winter warm-up on Saturday and Monday. He's doing well. And he said he's looking. He always joked about this. He's looking for doorman jobs in the Central West End. He's kind of walking around seeing if he can, because that's kind of the thing he's always wanted to do.
Yes.
Be a doorman.
Now, he has mentioned, though, because doormen have to carry bags. Gardner needs, like, Tommy John surgery for non-pitchers. I'm not sure if elbow would be good for that. Chuck, for you, today in Bradley basketball history, this involves a Bradley alum, not necessarily a Bradley basketball moment, but on this day in 1996, Hersey Hawkins, one of his 14 double-doubles. This one with the San Antonio Supersonics. Hawkins still 8th place in the career basketball NCAA basketball list.
You see the San Antonio Supersonics?
No, it's the Seattle Supersonics, my mistake.
Hersey Hawkins was fantastic for Bradley, but if you even... I'm going to bring it up. I know we have only a couple minutes, but Hersey Hawkins' NBA stats...
Really good.
...are very, very good.
Yeah, he made $30 million in the NBA, averaging 23 a game.
To average 23 points...
Actually, 16 a game, 23 per 100 possessions.
Okay, but still, he was an elite scorer for many, many years in the NBA.
Yep.
We mentioned with Dr. Rick a 5,000-calorie diet. Famously, Michael Phelps was 12,000. He said that's not true. It was more like 8,000 to 10,000. But this is what he had every day. Breakfast, 3 fried egg sandwiches with cheese, lettuce, tomatoes, fried onions, and mayonnaise. 2 cups of coffee, 1 5-egg omelet, 1 bowl of grain, 3 slices of French toast topped with and 3 chocolate chip pancakes. For lunch, 1 pound of pasta, 2 large ham and cheese sandwiches with mayo on white bread, plus energy drinks. For dinner, 1 pound of pasta, an entire pizza, and even more energy drinks. And then he swam a lot in between.
Michael Phelps. Hersey Hawkins, by the way, 14-year NBA career.
Good for him.
That's impressive.
And finally, Chuck, I just want to get your insight onto something. We all know that famously the Vikings kneeled for the extra point, causing a multi-million dollar swing in Vegas. The line sometimes was 5.5 or 5, ended up being a 5-game deficit or margin victory for Minnesota. I know every now and again you put wagers on games.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a fun gambling story?
Oh, man, something like that?
Yes.
You know, I can't think of anything off the top of my head that, first of all, I don't bet enough that if I lost one bet, I would just... You know, every once in a while, though, you'll throw a big bet out there and you feel good about it and you don't win, but it's never been something like that. Where I guess nowadays, though, if anybody has a walk-off in the NFL, we know they have to kick that extra point, but they never do it. So at this point, I think it's understood that they're going to take a knee. And it's kind of, it's interesting because they're doing it out of respect for their opponent. You know, going out there, you've already won the game. It's kind of rubbing salt on the wound if you go and kick the point.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'd also be like, if I'm a coach, wait, all the guys that bet on my team, maybe I'll help them out and kick it. But then again, you're not supposed to think about things like that. Although Lane Kiffin always knows the spread, and I like that.
And I love Joe Buck as a broadcaster. Did he mention it at all? Because there are some instances where, like, you do need Al Michaels or Brent Musburger to bring up that sort of thing.
It would be a meaningless touchdown at the end, and that play meant something to a lot of you out there in the desert. Something along those lines. And that's at the end,
that's the end of the day.
Great job, guys. Brian Hoffman. Jim Huer,
Thank you.
Thanks, Matt Rocchio, Charlie Marlowe, filling in for Frank and Martin, who are both with the Cardinals Hall of Fame vote. We'll see how that all plays out, and they'll both be back tomorrow, correct?
Yes, Brian Hoffman, both back tomorrow.
From 10 to 1. So we will bid you adieu, and we have the Hardline coming up next. Eric Messersmith, Cam Jansen, TJ Moe, John Hadley, 1 to 3 right here on 590 The Fan. This has been the Midday Grind on 590 The Fan. 105.7 HD2 FM and 590thefan.com.
Congratulations for bringing me down. Congratulations. Now I'm sorrow bound. Congratulations. You got a good deal. Congratulations.